I want to bring John. This is, again, somebody that you got from the system, right? An interview that showed up in your calendar, and you made a phone call, and John happened to be the right guy. And he's just doing some unbelievable things. So, John, I'd love for you to maybe share, if you want to, a little bit about your $23,000 a week. I know that's going to be probably a little bit of a norm here for you. And also, you've got some really good things that you do on a regular basis that help to close business that I think a lot of people on this phone would really get a lot out of if they want to implement. So, John, love having you on the call.
Okay. Hey, man, thanks for having me. So, Hello, team. $23,000 a week. To do $5,000 in a week or do $23,000 a week, nothing happens on accident. You got to put your mind to it and force yourself to do the things sometimes you don't want to do. So I don't know anybody that I've met in cemetery that just says, man, I love making calls. There might be a few of us out there, but I'm not one of them. So I take my leads with me everywhere I go. And if a lead blows out, I pull into a McDonald's, put my laptop up, I log in, pull my leads out, and I sit in the back, and I start calling. And I call, 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 and I call. And I'll set 2 or 3 appointments, so I go run my lead. Then if my lead blows out or something changes, someone says, hey, I got to back it up an hour, I pull into McDonald's, and sometimes I'll do it once a day, twice a day, sometimes it's 4 or 5 times a week. But I don't have a set calling day. I just call all the time, and I find that if I don't call, well, here you go. If you don't call, you're unemployed. You don't have someone to go see. You don't have someone to go see. You're unemployed. So the only way you're going to have someone to go see is to get on the phone and call and call and call. And there are times when my wife is sitting on the couch. She says, hey, this great movie's on. And I go, yeah, it's great. And I go upstairs, and I call, and I call, and I call, and I call, and I call. Some people, you can only catch them at 9 in the morning. Some people don't get up until 10, 11 o'clock because they worked at night. And you can only catch them until 2 o'clock in the afternoon because then they go to work at 3. And then some people get up and leave the house at 5 o'clock in the morning. They go to the gym and they work out, and then they shower at the gym and they go to work. And they get home from work at 6 o'clock and they eat dinner and they're in bed by 8. So if you're not calling between 7 and 8, you're not going to get them. And sometimes it's hard to do that because you got appointments and you're on appointments. And so you just got to stop in the middle of your day and call and call and call and call and call and call. And that's how you pull off a $23,000 a week, just to do it. That's just it. So
good.
Yesterday I picked up Joanna. She's one of my new agents. And I can't wait to help her be successful here. I told her, that will be my goal and motivation. JB Spencer, brand new. He's been a friend of mine for a long time. He's built some teams. He's flying here to Atlanta at the end of the month, and he's going to stay at my house for 3 days and just ride with me. So, you know, you're going to get out of people what you put into them. And if you're building a team, take that to heart. You're going to get out of it what you're going to have. So this, Brad asked me to share today some of the things that I do in the house that might be doing differently than some of you on the phone, and glad to do it. I know every gift and talent that I possess came from the Lord, and I don't own it. It's His, and He just. I learned things over the years that I do every single day. It's almost like riding a bike now. I just do it naturally, but you got to force yourself to do a few things. And there's a few things that I do that I promise you, if you take some notes today, it'll be some game changers for you. So here's one of them. I am consistent. I do the same thing every time in the house. I don't change what I do. I don't do something different. As soon as you do, let me share something with you. As soon as you do something different and it works for you one time, it'll get you. Oh, man, that worked. It's going to work one time. And every time you try to do it again after that, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. And you're going to be like punching your head into a wall. So you have to do the symmetry system that works and then add a few things to it here and there. It's nothing wrong with trying something new. I mean, I've tried a lot of new things since I've been here, and I've found things that worked and found things that didn't. So when I get in someone's house here's a great example when you're talking to someone on the phone. Let me pick up a lead sheet right here. So here's a lead sheet I'm holding in my hand. This lady's name is Arcadia Thomas. This is the lady that I sold two policies to yesterday. So when I'm talking to Mrs. Thomas, and Miss Thomas, hey, all my friends call you John. What do your friends call you? She says, my friends call me Katie. So would you mind if I called you Katie? Great. Well, all my friends call me John. Please call me John. Now, what I just did there is we became friends. Mrs. Thomas, maybe Miss Thomas twice. And then I go straight to Miss Thomas, what do your friends call you? My friends call me Katie. Now, think about this. Imagine you're in the house for an hour, and you're calling this lady Arcadia, and no one calls her Arcadia. And you get to the end of the presentation, and she says, well, I'm actually Katie. My friends call me Katie. So it's very important to find out, hey, what do your friends call you? So the guy the other day, his name is Charles Autry. He's a hairdresser, but his friends call him Adam. Well, he's Adam now. So you got to find out what their friends call him. And say, my friends call me John. So you can call me John. Now we've become friends. Now we're on a first name basis. I'm calling, but their friends call him, we're buds. And you have to start in the first 5 minutes of your phone call and your presentation the same way. So people buy business, do business with people they like. I've never met someone that met a salesperson that, man, that guy's a jerk. And they said, well, I'll take two of them. They're not. People do business with people they like. People also do business with people that they trust and people that they respect. So you have to, and there's somewhere in the beginning, once you transition from your warm-up to your presentation, you have to become the expert. And if you're brand new in this business, that's part of it. You're just, the only thing you can do with not being the expert is replace it with, I care about you. That's a big one. If they sense that you care about them, that will be fine until you become the expert. But you have to become the expert because nobody wants to do business with somebody that doesn't know what they're doing. They go, well, I'm not sure. So you can't be that guy or girl. You have to become the expert in this business. If you have chosen that you're going to be an insurance agent and this is your career, then it is your job to become the expert. You can call Brad and Matt and Vlad and all these guys and try to learn as much as you can, but if you don't pick up your laptop and learn about a little bit of stuff and know what you're selling, you're not the expert. And when people ask you questions and you just try to wing it, eventually that's going to blow up in your face. And it will blow up in your pocketbook, which is worse than blowing up in your face. You find yourself not making any money. So you have to become the expert. Be consistent. Do the same thing every time. I tell the same story. I look like a robot in the house. If you went on 5 presentations with me, I will say the same thing from the beginning to the end. Same stories, same dialogue, same everything. Exactly the same. The only thing I change differently is in my warm-up, I do what's called infiltrate. Infiltrate is something I learned out of this book called The Closer. A friend of mine wrote it named Ben Gay. And it's when you become part of the family. So if a dog walks in the room and the dog, hey, what's your dog's name? The dog's name is Cody. Hey, Cody. I'll write the dog's name on a piece of paper. Two kids walk in the room, Sally and Jerry. Hey, who's that Sally and Jerry? I'll write the kids' names down. In the course of my presentation, those kids walk back to the room. I go, hey, Jerry, what are you doing? Hey, Sally, what are you doing? And the dog comes over, hey, Cody. It sounds silly, but you have illustrated. You become part of their family and their little niche. That's who they want to do business with. They want to do a business with this person. And I do that every time. Every single time I'm in the house, if I find something in common to talk about, but I get to know their kids, their dog, their cat. Now, watch this. You cannot fake stuff. If you go to the local cat lady's house and she has 17 cats and you don't like cats, you don't pick up their cat and start petting their cat and go, nice cat. Because people can read people. They'll realize you're faking it, and that's kind of hokey, and they just won't do business with you. They won't tell you because it's a safe face, but they just won't do business with you. Something else I do in my presentation, I say my name 3 times plus. And I do it in a little part. You know, my wife, she'll always say, hey, John, you should do this. I was talking to a guy the other day. He said, hey, John, man, you should do this. And I'll say my name 3 times during the course of the presentation. Here's why. How many times have you gotten into your presentation and you ask them to buy, and the client's starting to give you some objections, and they go, I'm sorry, what is your name again? You lose. They don't even know who you are. That happens. Everybody on this phone, including myself, that's happened to you. So I just third party. I go, yeah, my wife sometimes. So, you know, she'll say, hey, John, you should get this done. And I'll make up something and I'll just, but I say my name 3+ times in my presentation. And eventually the client will say, hey, John, let me ask you this. Hey, John, let me ask you that. Dog comes in, hey, Cody. Hey, Sally, Jerry. Closed the deal one time with a lady. Her kid came in, and she got, had to get on a conference call real quick for 15 minutes. So I sat there and talked with her kid for 15 minutes. And I noticed there was a calendar on the kitchen wall that had his birthday on it in 3 days. And I just noticed it because I noticed things. I pay attention to stuff. She walked back in, single mom. We're sitting there talking. And I said, hey, I said, so how's your son's birthday in 3 days? How old is he going to be? She goes, oh, he's going to be 10. I said, oh, that's a cool age, man. And we just got to talking about it because one of my grandkids is 10. And we got to talk about her son. So at the end of my presentation, I asked her why she did this with me, which I ask every single person. And she said, well, she says, I've never had someone come to my house and just feel like you're part of the family. You're talking about my son. And I said, how did you know it was my son's birthday? I smiled and just pointed at the wall. I said, it's on the calendar right there. She goes, oh, my gosh, it is on the calendar. It's care. You can't fake stuff like that. If you don't care about people, you will not be able to do this. You just won't be a successful salesperson anywhere if you don't care about people. So my presentation always starts with a warm-up. Warm-up, in my opinion, takes as long as it takes. There's no time limit on a warm-up. Could take 5 minutes, could take 10 minutes, could take 15 or 20 minutes. A good warm-up will help you close your presentation. When you walk in the house, best example I can give you. Walk in the house yesterday with Joanna, and I said, hi, my name is John Griffin. This is Joanna. She's training today. She's just going to be hanging with me. I said, that's okay. And then she goes, yeah. I didn't ask her, is that okay? I said, that's okay. I told her that. I said, that's okay. And yeah, okay, good. We walk on in the house. She walks us straight to the living room. She says, hey, guys, have a seat right here. I said, okay, fantastic. I said, I see your laptop on the kitchen table. I said, would you mind if we walked into your kitchen and sat down? She goes, oh, that'd be great. So I sat where you have to take control. If the client has control in the beginning of the presentation, they'll have control at the end too. So I took control, walked straight to the kitchen, and I told Joanna where to sit. I pulled the seat. I said, Joanna, you sit right here. Then she was already sitting in her seat, and I pulled my seat around, and I sat around across from her. I sat next to her, and that's where I sat. Now, if you pay attention to people's dialogue in the house and eye contact in the house, you learn some things. But you gotta be a good listener. God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth, so you can do twice as much listening and half as much talking. So you have to be a good listener, and you have to watch people. I watched her 3 times. Look at her watch. So I knew what I was asking her, because if you open the door and ask a question like, "Well, are you in a hurry?" Yeah, I'm in a hurry. You gotta be done right now. So people will always let you press them a little bit longer for a presentation. But you have to be courteous and respectful of their time. So we wrote 2 policies in an hour. And then as I was getting ready to go, I knew she had to go because she looked at her watch again and she was being nice. I said, hey, real quick, I said, you've got your kids. And we found out that she was putting another 6% of her overage in her 401k. That was $720 a month, which is pre-tax. I said, well, half that's about, you know, this X amount of dollars, it was $430 or something like that. I said, well, and then I just ran a proposal real quick, an illustration with LSW, and I just emailed it to her after I let her look at it. She said, that's fantastic. She said, call me Monday. Let's take a look at that. But, no, you can press someone to try to write that in the house and try to write 4 apps. But let me tell you what could have happened. I've seen this happen to myself a million times. You end up selling $6,000 worth of stuff. They're in a hurry to get out the door, and then the conversation they're having in the car with their husband as they're driving to wherever they were late, and you made them an hour late to, is, man, we just bought $6,000. Well, I don't know. We have to rethink this. You don't want to ever have them rethinking anything. You want to have them comfortable. So sometimes you got a 2-step deal, and I'll write 2 deals then, and I'll go back and write 2 more deals later. You got to be courteous. You got to be respectful. You got to pay attention to people's time. If you walk in a house, I can't tell you how many times this has screwed me up. Get to the house at 7 o'clock. The client's cooking dinner. They have their back to you. They say, hey, we'll have a seat right there. And they start cooking. And they say, go ahead. Tell me about your company. And you start pitching. You lose. People There's three levels of listen, first, second, third. Okay? The first level of listening is about right there. They're not listening. They're listening to maybe 20% of what you're saying. It's like you get up to the house and the ball game's on. You know, every season there's either basketball, baseball, football, something's on. And that mister's got the TV on in the kitchen. And he's facing the TV and you've got your back to the TV and you start pitching. He's listening to about every other word you're saying. Or you'll get the uh-huh guy. Every time you say something, he'll go, uh-huh. And he ain't buying anything from you because you made the mistake to compete with the TV or to compete with the cooking. I would just sit there and just say, hey, I don't mind. I'll wait till you're done eating. I'll wait till you're done cooking. Hey, what inning are we in? Oh, we're in the seventh inning. We got two more innings. Hey, I'll watch the game with you. I'll let the game finish if the game's important to them and then pitch. Okay, learn this thing. Dance with the one you're with. If you got another lead in an hour and you're trying to hurry up to get to that other lead in an hour, when you get there, it's going to be a one leg or a no show. So don't force yourself to get out of the house. Dance with the one you're with. If you're in the house with the client, you stay there in that client's house as long as it takes to close that deal. Because when you get to the next one, it might not even be there. And you hurry to get out of the house, left without your deal. You drive all the way across town to get to the next house, and they're not even home. You're like, Jesus, I should have just stayed where I was. Dance with the one you're with. That's your most important client, the one you're on. So this lady tried to sit us in the living room. We didn't sit. We went to the kitchen table. So I start talking to her. I ask everybody on the phone, hey, who's going to be your beneficiary? And her words to me on my notes were probably my kids. I said, oh, okay. I said, you found? No, probably my kids. It's okay. So I set the appointment, thinking she's not married. Of course she's married. She's in the house, she's married. So what do you do then? Well, before you start pitching, you need to find out if she's the man. Not being sexist, but if she's the man, she's the man, you pitch that one. But if she ain't the man, you're going to get the objection at the end of your presentation. Well, that sounds really good. I'm going to have to run this by my spouse and get back to you. She's just wasting an hour's time for nothing. So I asked her right up front, not saying she's the man, but in a roundabout way. And she's like, yeah, she makes $149,000 a year. She's buying this insurance policy. And she says, yeah, we'll probably put a policy on my husband too. Okay. Well, he walked in about the middle of the presentation, and I said, well, this is something you can make a decision on your own. And she said, oh, yeah. She said, if it's affordable, it's in my budget, we're going to do this. I said, okay. I'll pitch that person. But if they say something like, well, you know, I'm definitely going to have to run this by my husband, I'll say, well, can he be here? If he can't be there and she has to run it by her husband, stop. Stop. Reset. Because if you give them the price, they got what you were going to give them, the price. And your chances of getting back in the house and closing that deal second time around are slim to none. As soon as they have the price, they have the pre-estimate. So they have the quote. There's no reason for you to come back. Well, I'll just, you know, if we decide to do it, we'll call you. Like, you're a great salesperson, man. We really enjoyed your company. Thanks for coming out. You're a great salesperson. Have your business card. That's what you're going to get. That you can't buy anything with that. So stop. Just say, well, you know, he's going to be your – I didn't realize you had a spouse, and if he's part of the decision process, you know, we really need to have him here so we can kind of hear this. Well, that's okay. You can tell me, and I'll tell him. That ain't going to work either because he's not going to be able to tell him what you tell him ever, and it won't be the same. What he's going to see is, wow, it's $149 a month. That's a lot. He has no idea what he's getting for $149 a month. Could be a ring around the eye. Who knows? So if there's no presentation, there's no value built for the cost. And you have to have them both there unless they say, okay, I'm the decision maker. Okay, cool. Now watch this. Let's say they say I'm the decision maker. And you've got that out. You get to the end of the presentation and they go right back to, well, I have to run this by my husband. Well, that's not a valid objection. You can smile kindly. Smile is like great. You ever watch TV and see someone yawn on TV and go, Your smile works the same way. You just smile real big and they kind of smile back at you. And you smile and you smile back and say, well, about 10 minutes ago, you told me that you're a decision maker. Okay, so is it the 149 or 189 or you guys want to go to 129? Go right back to the close. I just remind them what they told me, and then I go ask them for the business again. Because it's not a valid objection. Warm-up takes as long as it takes. When my warm-up was over, I asked two questions. How long have you been thinking about purchasing mortgage protection insurance? Why do you ask that? Well, you're going to get a couple answers. They're going to say, well, we moved in our house about a month ago, and we got these cards in the mail, and we mailed it out. So I guess about a month. So you're telling me you've been thinking about this for about a month? Yeah, about a month. Okay, fantastic. That's all you want to do. You're gathering some information, put that in your holster. Or they might say, well, we lived here 10 years, but we just got our house refinanced, and now we're starting to think about doing this. So you know, maybe a couple weeks, or you know, we got these cards. So here's your opportunity to say, well, you've lived here 10 years. In the last 10 years, have you at least once or twice thought about, man, if something happens to my spouse, and they couldn't work, man, we'd be in a pickle. Yeah. So it's probably safe to say you've been thinking about this for 10 years, right? Oh, yeah, I guess we have. Okay, good. The number one objection ever in any sales presentation is, I have to think about it. So why do we ask that question? Because it makes that objection go away. And you bring it up two or three times in the presentation, you remind them, well, you guys have been thinking about this for 30 days. Or, well, you've been in the house for 10 years, so you've been thinking about this for 10 years. So I promise you, I got to think about it at the end of my presentation because I bring it up in the beginning. Second question I ask, this one, you're going to get all kinds of stuff come out of the cloud. What made you decide to do it today? Today is like a sticker shock word. What made you decide to do it today? One or two things are going to come out of their mouth. We're not doing anything today. And then following that, they're going to tell you why. They're going to go, blah, 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 and they're going to throw up, and they're going to tell you all the reasons why they're not doing it today. This is not the time for you to overcome that, because those aren't objections that you overcome. You're just finding out what they are. You're on a fact-finding mission. What made you decide to do something today? Blah, and they tell you why. Or here's the great one. You got a buyer, someone's just ready to go, and they go, well, we're going to do it today because my husband and I just got this new house, and our mortgage is $2,670 a month, and neither one of us make enough money by ourselves to pay the mortgage, so we have to do something. Well, thank you for sharing that with me. I appreciate that. At the end of this presentation, I'm going to help you apply so we can take care of you, make sure you're protected. So one of two things we're going to come out about, why they can't do it today or why they're going to do it today. This is not all you don't have a rebuttal or response. You're just gathering that information, stored it in your holster, and then you bring it up in your presentation two or three times, like you bring up your name, their name, and all these other things, and you bring it up during the presentation to close your presentation to the close. Masterful presentation makes the close real easy. Because a salesperson will just go through a presentation, and all the closing is done as soon as the price is at the table. Or a master closer will give a masterful presentation, and they roll the price out, and the client goes, that'll work. There's nothing to overcome. Now, I get objections sometimes. Sometimes someone will say something, but I just go right back to my close. Objections are always the same in any presentation. We got to think about it. We got to pray about it. We don't make instant decisions. We're not doing this until we talk to our financial advisor. I'm going to talk to my kids. Well, we're going to need to talk to our dad. Hey, me and my husband, we've been married for 25 years, and we decided 25 years ago we'd never make a decision on the first time out. We've been burned a couple of times, and we just don't do that anymore. Those objections are always the same. So if I could share one thing with you today, learn how to overcome those objections. How do you learn how to do them? By just going out in the field and seeing what happens and seeing if you can overcome them without knowing how to overcome them. Go buy some closers books, you know, from Bengay, from Zig Ziglar, and learn some closes. Probably one of the best ones out there is The Closers. And it's pretty awesome. You learn how to close. People are different. You know, an engineer thinks a certain way. He's very analytical, and he's a left-brainer, and he thinks like ABC, XYZ. Or if you sit down with another salesperson, you pretty much have a sale in the bag, because a great salesperson or a good salesperson likes a good salesperson. Oh, man, they're hitting off, having fun. Yeah, that's good. And they don't need to know how to build the watch. They just want to know what time it is. But the engineer wants to know how to build it. And if you don't know how to build it, because you're not a master of your craft, you're not going to close that guy. You're going to struggle with him. So you got to master your craft. What else I do in the house is after I do this every time, I price condition people. And I've never sold insurance before. It's going on my fifth month now selling insurance. But this is something I've always done in every presentation before. Somebody is price conditioned. Oh, it's so easy to close them. Well, I wouldn't say it's so easy, but it sure does make it go smoother. So here's how I do it. It's something I tried in the house a couple times and it worked. So I kept on trying it. Guess what? Kept on working. So here's what I do. I say, hey, Mr. Jones, who's your car insurance through? And they'll go, well, it's through USAA or it's through Allstate or through State Farm. Okay, fantastic. Now, what do you pay a month? Well, most people pay anywhere from $100 a month to $700 a month, just depending on how many cars they got. But the average is about $250. Okay, you pay $250 a month. Okay, fantastic. Well, what's our average deal? $80. So you go, fantastic, that's $250. Here's how price conditioning works. We'll get $250. I take a piece of paper, well, $250. I write that down. So how many speeding tickets have you had in the last 3 years? Most people will say one or none. It's the most common answer. I know because I've done it 50 times now. One or none. Okay, fantastic. One. So you get one speeding ticket, you know, you're kind of like, hey, man, don't worry about it. But you know if you get three speeding tickets, you're going to get a phone call from your insurance agent. And he's going to go, hey, man, we're having to take your insurance from $250 to $350. And, man, Bill, you can't get any more speeding tickets this year. And if you get a fourth speeding ticket, you get another call. Hey, Bill, it's been nice having you as a client, man, but we can't have you no more. Too many speeding tickets. Whoa, okay. So now you're at Progressive or you're at the General. Whoa, they're at the General. Yeah, sucky insurance, and you're at $350, and guess what? You're driving the same cars. Yep, and you're at $350 a month, and all of a sudden you get in an accident. Now you're at $450 a month. You're driving the same cars. Well, if you get a DUI, that insurance company, the crappy one, is going to call you and say, hey, man, we can't insure you anymore. And now you got to get SR-22, and every time you start your car, you got to blow this tube. You're paying $900 a month, and you're driving the same car. That's called your Department of Motor Vehicle Record, a DMV, because they can look at it and tell how you've been driving. Well, there's another thing out there. It's called the MIB. That's your Medical Information Bureau. Well, let me tell you how that works. Today, you take one blood pressure med. It's like having one speeding ticket. No big deal. So today, your insurance is going to be the cheapest it'll ever be. And, Mr. Bill, I can't tell you how many times I've sat down with someone just like you at their kitchen table. Can't count on my fingers and toes. And they said, man, we like it. That fits our budget. The price looks great. Man, we're going to have to think about it. We got to pray about it. Man, we got to mull this thing over. Man, I got to talk to my wife, and we got to really figure out if our budget's going to fit, and we look at our budget. And I go, okay, that's fine. I understand. And they said, well, call me back in a couple weeks. And I call them back in a couple weeks. Now we ain't figured it out yet. I said, okay. And then life happens. Here's life. I get a flat tire. I put $200 for the tire. Now I'm in insurance. The termite guy came out, and I had to put all these new things in my termite. That was $500 to fix my termite stuff. And all that, my daughter, she had to pay the tuition for school. And just life happened. Life happens. Two or three months go by, and you hadn't got this insurance yet. And all of a sudden, you got a scratchy throat. And you're, man, you go, well, I got to run to the doctor. So you run to the doctor. And there's two things the doctors do first. They take your temperature and they take your blood pressure. They take your blood pressure and your blood pressure is high. They go, whoa, Bill, your blood pressure is high. That's weird. I don't know why. Maybe it's life. They go, well, it's okay. I'm going to draw some blood real quick. Just check you out. And they draw some blood and they come back and they go, man, your sugar's off. Man, don't worry about it, Bill. It's okay. And they get the laptop out and they prescribe you 3 or 4 medications. You just got 3 or 4 speeding tickets in the same day. And when you call me back to get this insurance, it's going to be twice what it is today because you didn't do it. And I'd hate for that to happen to you. And I nod my head like a little chicken, and I go, it makes sense just to get it done, doesn't it, when you can get it as low as you can possibly get it. Because right now your driver record and your MIB, your health record is perfect. And they go, yeah, they agree with you. It sure is. Great. I get them to agree with me. If they don't agree with me, then we stop. We stop until they do agree with me. You can't get in arguments with people, but there are ways to find out why they don't agree with you. Every now and then I'll get one that doesn't. That's the left brainer. He's overthinking everything. That's okay. Some people overthink stuff, but they can still be sold too. You just have to convince them that you're the right agent, and your company is the right company. And if they don't do business with you today, they're making a mistake. And all that's done with finesse, kindness, care. it was some sympathy with people and sharing stories with them. I think I shared this on a call once before. Here's my mindset. I went out to a lady's house a couple months ago, and she was 72, and she says, oh, I got life insurance. I don't need life insurance. I said, well, okay. I said, well, if you don't mind, let me take a look at your policy. She says, okay, fantastic. She pulls the policy out, and she shows it to me. And I said, well, that's great, you got life insurance. I said, but this right here, in the small print down here, like two paragraphs down, that says cancer only. She says, oh, what does that mean? I said, that means you have to die of cancer. Oh. I said, but that's okay. I said, it's possible you could die of cancer, but let's just do the math. I said, have your mom and dad passed? She says, yeah. I said, did they die of cancer? No. Okay, what did they die of? Well, heart disease. Okay. Well, how about your mom or dad's brothers and sisters? Any of your aunts or uncles ever die of cancer? She started thinking, no, I don't think so. I said, okay, well, let's go one further. Any of your cousins? Any brothers, sisters, anybody in your family got cancer? She looked at me, and if you see the tears welling up her eyes, and she goes, I'm not going to die of cancer, am I? I said, probably not. I'm not going to die of cancer. I said, how long have you been paying on that policy? She said, since I was 50, 22 years, $47 a month, some yo-yo sold this lady a policy that will pay her nothing. And let me tell you my mindset. If I don't convince them that I'm the right agent and Symmetry is the right company to do business with, that's my fault. And some yo-yo is going to come behind them and hurt them and not help them. And shame on me for leaving without my policy. I have hurt them by not convincing them I'm the right guy. Because I'm not going to do that to them. I'm going to help them get what they need and deserve. And I know the company and the product that I put them with is going to be the right one. It's not going to be some crappy policy that never pays them. And they know that.
And good. Stop, John. That was awesome. I've gotten a lot of text. That was such a great call. We're going to have to put that on the website. Appreciate you pointing
out. Hey,
man,
thanks for letting me share that, buddy.
Yeah, that was awesome. All right, guys, we're a little bit past one. We're not going to do the questions and answers today, but we'll pick that up next week. So I appreciate you guys getting on. And if you do come up with anything that you need to bring to the group, make sure you bring that next week, and we'll do some questions and answers and help you with whatever you're dealing with. So thanks again, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thanks.